This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy podcast. I'm Chris, members admin volunteer for 20 years. We need your support to continue providing this podcast service. Please become a member or make a donation at joy.org.au.
Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Now, Macca, what are we doing next?
We're going to speak, in fact, we've got him on the line, Matthew Wade, editor of Star Observer.
Oh, the gorgeous Matthew.
Good morning,
Matthew.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Great to hear you again.
Yeah, likewise. Always a pleasure to be on.
So I believe that you're busy moving or something this morning.
I am. I know I'm very, very weak, so it's always when I move that I'm become aware of how weak I really am when I'm trying to carry and lug boxes around. But I think I'm doing okay so far. I've got a little bit more to go, but so far so good.
Well, so good on you.
A general call out, Tass, for a few Muscle Marys to go around and help you out.
Yeah.
So moving from where to where, Matthew?
So I was in Balaclava and now I'm moving to Richmond.
Oh, good on you. Closer into the city.
Yeah, it's better and closer to Joy as well.
Yeah, of course. Easier to get into the office. So, Matthew, just in our sort of thinking about what are the topics that you might brief us about this morning, I need to ask you first of all about the response or the community reaction to the Muff director, Richard Wollstonecroft.
Yes.
Muff. Muff. We need to let people know what Muff is first.
I think some people know. Melbourne Underground Film Festival, Tess.
Yes, that's right. So it's a film festival and the head of that festival, Richard, as you mentioned, came under fire for making some, I guess, very strange comments, particularly around the postal survey that were taken as being quite homophobic. And I guess initially his response was to step down and step away from Muff, but more recently, I guess in the past week or so, he's kind of backed up what he was saying and said, you know what, I stand by what I said, and he's back to being the head of the Melbourne Underground Film Festival. And he was basically saying, and I quote, you know, I can be as homophobic or psychotic, I think was the word, as I want. So that's an interesting one. And I think the community response, both from within the LGBTI community and outside of it, has been one of, I guess, outrage in a sense, just because, you know, someone with a platform like his, whether it's a film festival or any kind of festival, you know, spreading ideas of like that, should be held to account.
Has there been a call to boycott the Muff?
There was. I mean, even actually, when that initially went down earlier in the year, people were saying that already, but then the idea was that he was actually going to step away. But now that he's kind of reinforced his ideas and he's like, no, I'm just sticking with, you know, Muff and I'm going to stand behind it. I definitely have seen quite a lot of that activity on social media, people saying, well, look, we can't really support the festival if one of the main voices behind it has these kind of views and is willing to say these kind of things publicly.
So, I mean, Matt, I've got to say, he is entitled to his view. I mean, there isn't a strong enough law against stupidity, obviously. But, I mean, how does he retain the position, to be honest?
Interestingly, we had a chat with him, maybe it must have been earlier in the week, and he was citing Bruce LaBruce, the queer film director from, I think he's Canadian, as kind of one of the people that inspires him, which is interesting because Bruce is a gay man, and Bruce is someone who is very much about, liberation as opposed to assimilation, like that kind of concept of, you know, he doesn't want to kind of blend in with the rest of society. He wants to be out loud and proud and as different as possible, which, I mean, kudos to him. But it's interesting how, I guess, Richard has kind of adopted that kind of way of thinking as a way to justify what he's saying. So he's kind of being like, oh, well, you know, I'm just, it's free speech, you know, I can say what I want because, you know, I'm unafraid to just speak out and go against the grain. And, you know, and it was just interesting that he cited a queer person as someone that kind of has inspired him to have that line of rhetoric. But that's essentially it. It's the whole free speech thing. I think that's essentially what he's backing it with.
You know, we have lots of people who advocate for free speech. Unfortunately, some of the stuff they say, what it says is if their brains were dynamite, they couldn't part their hair. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, sorry, Tass, you wanted to...
Macca, I was going down exactly the same pathway. We've just had a message from the lovely James, who's one of our listeners, who actually argues, is this what free speech advocates are really arguing for? You know, the ability to be able to say abhorrent things and discriminate against other members of our community. Is this right? Is this what they're on about?
Yeah, I believe it's often used as a bit of a crutch because, you know, people can say as homophobic or transphobic or just bigoted things as they'd like, and then it's quite easy, I guess, for them to say, oh, well, we should be entitled to have different opinions and different views, and I'm just, you know, exercising my right to free speech. And I just wonder, you know, maybe perhaps the line isn't drawn clearly enough when it comes to legislation around hate speech, but, yeah, I just think it's quite a weak crutch to fall back on.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we have, you know, people that claim to be libertarian, for example, and that are, you know, supporters of free speech, but they claim it's not hate speech. But, you know, realistically, when you say stuff, okay, you know, the guy's the director of a minor, insignificant festival. And he's getting coverage for it, which we're giving him coverage. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're, you know, it's useful to know just where stupidity resides, isn't it?
Well, and that's, I guess, one of the main things that we try to do, and I imagine yourselves as well, I mean, at Joy, of course, but there's always that kind of conflicting ideas around whether you should be giving a platform to people that are saying these kind of things, and often... In my mind, at least, the reason why we have to cover stories of that nature is just because it's kind of, I think it's really important that people with those views that are willing to express them quite publicly should be, you know, held to account by the public, and also just the public should be aware that they do feel that way or that they have been saying these kind of things. So, yeah, I think it's important to highlight that.
Well, Tass is going to boycott the Muff.
Well, Muff was never on my horizon, Macca. And I did hear that there was going to be a boycott of the Muff, which is why I actually called that out.
Well, that's what was interesting. I'm interested to see when the festival rolls around, whether it does impact that at all. Because if he's still the head of it, then I wonder, how it'll impact ticket sales. I mean... I mean, the fact that it's an underground film festival, I think, naturally means it would draw quite a queer crowd. And they've screened queer movies in the past. I mean, they've actually screened Bruce LaBruce films and things like this. So, it'd be interesting to see going forward.
Now, before we do go, Mass, is there any other hot issues that you need to let us know about?
Oh, hot issues. The one that was interesting, I guess, and that you probably have maybe, I'm not sure if you've already mentioned this, but recently Jetstar, they did a customer survey.
Yes.
You saw this story. Have you already spoken about it?
No, we haven't, but...
Why do you think most of their customers...
Right. Macca?
Sorry, Matt, keep going.
Oh, sorry, so Jetstar did a customer survey, and essentially on that survey, it required the participants to fill out, to nominate their gender, and the options were either obviously male, female, or X, and X is quite broad in that it could cover a non-binary individual, an intersex individual, or just something other than male or female. And naturally, a lot of, I guess, the perhaps more conservative customers of Jetstar have kind of spoken out against it and have taken to social media as they do and have derided it. But interestingly, it's actually not something that's unique to Jetstar to have that. I mean, I know universities and a lot of other places have had to bring those kind of forms in line with the census and things like that. So you know, Jess does just following the legal protocol to make sure they're in line with everything else. So, yeah, it's just, it's another example of, you know, people trying to decry, you know, this is something that's political correctness gone mad, but really it's actually just, you know, Jetstar as a company keeping it, you know, moving with the times and keeping in date with, you know, legislation around that.
Mesa, it feels to me like there's a leadership issue here. Somebody needs, and it probably needs to be somebody like the ABS or the federal government, who actually has to actually work out what the best way to deal with this issue is, and provide a, you know, fully consulted, fully developed, fully agreed to way for people to be able to identify their gender identity in filling out forms. We need a template around this, and somebody needs to actually develop it.
And yeah, look, and Jetstar's not alone.
Every organisation has difficulty with it now.
And every organisation is going to have knuckle dragging customers.
Yep. That's exactly right. And it's interesting because earlier this year we also reported on that because Qantas introduced guidelines. They weren't mandatory, but they introduced guidelines for their staff to use gender neutral language when they were talking to customers and things like this, to try to be sensitive to, you know, obviously their trans and non-binary customers. And the same thing, it's like clockwork. It's always, I mean, expected, but there were customers of Qantas that just thought, oh, this is, you know, too far, too much. But yeah, as you mentioned, Macca, it's just, it's something that there's always inevitably going to be those handful of people that want to complain about it.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you very much for your time this morning, and sorry to interrupt your big move from Balaclava to Richmond.
Anytime, thanks, guys.
There's a busload of muscle Marys on their way.
We look forward to having you back in the studio in a couple of weeks' time.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.